Today morning, His Grace Govinda Prabhu was very beautifully highlighting on one theme, on how we are unqualified to understand the subject matter of Srimati Radharani and the devotion of the gopis for Krishna. So the more I remember that, I feel ashamed to be sitting here on this elevated dais like a duck amongst swans who are directly connected to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj here in Bombay for so many years, hearing from him personally regularly several times. So I never anticipated that I'll be asked to come here for Radhashtami and speak a lecture here in the public, but the subject matter is the topmost subject matter for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and I feel myself like a dwarf catching the moon. As such, I am like dwarf only. So somebody saw my short height and told me, gave me a name, Vamana also. So this example is very fitting. Of course, Lord Vamana was very short but very intelligent, but I am not intelligent like that. But still, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yathamati and Yathaditam, according to one's realization and according to one's limited understanding, like a bird trying to fly in the sky, we could speak on this subject. Recently I heard an interesting story which is very hope-giving for devotees. As you know, amongst the Pandavas, Bhima once wanted to learn singing. So he started practicing in one of the prominent halls in the palace. So he started doing sadhana of singing. But his throat was so bad, and it was like somebody screaming or yelling. But still, Yusuf Maharaj was so patient, he never blamed him, he just tolerated him as he would tolerate anyone else. But Arjun was becoming very impatient. So Arjuna asked him, why are you practicing here? Why don't you go elsewhere and practice? So there was a small tussle between Bhima and Arjuna for some time. Anyway, then Bhima agreed to go and practice in the midst of some few hills. So sitting in the midst of those hills, he was loudly practicing. At the time, one owner of a donkey arrived there searching for the donkey. So he said to Bhima, actually when I heard your voice, I was very happy that I found my donkey. And he said, I only found you. Now I understood where the sound is coming from. So when Bhima heard this, he lost all hope for learning singing. Anyway, he returned back to the palace and he decided to give up endeavoring to practice. But later on, on another occasion, Yusuf Maharaj had sent Bhima to go to Dwaraka to do some work. And he also said, please call Krishna to come by tomorrow evening. Before tomorrow evening, I want to see him for something very important. And Bhima did his work and came back without telling Krishna. And then that evening, it was almost the sun is about to set. Yusuf asked, so I believe you have passed the message? And then he said, oh, brother, sorry, I forgot. I did only my own work. I forgot your work. Of course, Yusuf never become angry with anyone. But then he chastised Bhima that day. That how forgetful you are. You are so foolish. So Bhima went to one of the rooms in the palace and was weeping and moaning with tears in his eyes. And while crying like that, he was remembering Krishna in Dwaraka. He said, I came all the way, but I forgot to invite you. But now I have displeased my eldest brother, Yudhishthir, who never gets displeased by anybody. But I am so careless. So when he was speaking like this, immediately Vishnu Maharaj called for him. When he went to the main hall, he saw Krishna was sitting there. And he was shocked. Yudhishthir said you forgot to tell him, but you already told him. He has come here. And then Bhima went to Krishna and whispered in his ears, how did you arrive here? He said, and Krishna told him, because you cried so fervently for me, I came now. So, this story, what it teaches us, although Bhima, he did not have a competence or capability in one field, which he somehow or other wanted to have it, he couldn't have it. Still, simply by learning to cry for Krishna, he could win the heart of his brother and he could please Krishna and bring him also. So this is one thing any living entity can do in this world, if one is sincere. Although, once His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture here, he said, Vakreshwar Pandit, when he was dancing, Devananda Pandit took a towel, you know, he just dusted the body of Vakreshwar Pandit, and that pleased Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much. And then he asked all the audience, amongst you, how many of you think you can take a towel and dust some Vaishnava's body? And everybody raised a hand. And then Maharaj said, even a child can do that, he said. And then he said, yes, pleasing Lord Chaitanya is as simple as that. All you need is only sincerity. And then he said, how many of you can become a scholar like Devananda Pandit? He said, days and months and years he studied very deeply the scriptures and he became an expert in the scriptures. That we cannot do. And even after Devananda Pandit did that, still Lord Chaitanya was not pleased with him. So which one would you like to do? Would you like to do the most difficult thing and not please Chaitanya? Or do the easiest thing and please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he said, for that you have to give up your false ego and just serve. He said. So, it's a very beautiful lesson we learned. If one can call out Krishna like that, Bhima called out. So before I show this PowerPoint to you, probably about 10-15 minutes, I would like to speak a basic talk about Srimati Radharani. And in case we don't get to finish the slideshow, at least I would have conveyed something important which I feel is vital before we may go through it. You see, there is an Amnaya Sutra written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a compilation of 10 tattvas based on the scriptures and given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shiksha. So the first three of them, Amnaya Praha Tattvam Harimiha Paramam Sarva Shaktim Rasabdim, these are the first three. Of course, the first one is Amnaya Praha Tattvam, which is Vedas themselves, or the ultimate truth, he says. And then he says, second, third and fourth, he tells about Krishna. And then he talks about a couple of items about Jiva, how the Jiva becomes Prakriti Kavalitan, and then Jiva's nature. So each of these tattvas, 10 tattvas, if one learns, it is like a summary study of all the scriptures, in a nutshell. Only 10 tattvas. So in that, the three things spoken about Krishna are, first he says, Krishna is Paramatattva, he is Sarva Shaktiman, and he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, or Rasabdim, he says. Three truths about Krishna. So Krishna is the Vastava Vastu. Not only Krishna is Vastava Vastu, we are also Vastava Vastu. Vedyam Vastava Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. In Bhagavatam it is said, if one can know the Vastava Vastu properly, then they can become free from the Tapatrayon Mulanam, from the Trivida Tap. So Krishna is the Paramatattva. Paramatattva means there is no truth equal to him or superior to him. He is the ultimate truth, the personality of Godhead. Once His Holiness Purnachandra Maharaj was telling that the absolute truth is like a multi-dimensional creature. He gave a name like that. He said jnanis and yogis and karmis and different types of people try to understand what absolute truth is, but it escapes everybody. And the absolute truth is understandable only by bhakti. And he said, who is bhakti? Bhakti is personified by Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani's name is there in Bhagavad Gita. indirectly in many places. It is called as Vraj Prem in Gita. There was an article by His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj. He says, Bhaktya mama vijanati yavanjaschasmi tatvatah. Bhaktya, when he says, through Radharani, you can understand me. That's what Krishna is telling. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. That's how you can understand me, he says. Elsewhere, Krishna is saying, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Actually, the word braja, literally if you translate, it means do. Braja means do it. But why only you should say braja? There are so many words you could have used. In Sanskrit, for the word do, there are so many Sanskrit words. But why did Krishna chose this particular word, mamekam sharanam braja? Because you should surrender in the mood of Vrajavasis. That's the meaning. That's why he says, mamekam sharanam braja. So you'll find, if you read Bhagavad Gita, like, is Bhagavad Gita all about attachment or detachment? If you ask anybody in India, they will tell you Bhagavad Gita is all about detachment. You should become samadukka sukham dhiram, shita ushna, man apaman. You should go beyond all that. You should be equipoised. It is all about becoming cut off, detached from this world. But Bhagavad Gita is all about attachment to Krishna. 1.1 Krishna says, Maya sakta mana partha, he says, yogam yunjan madashreha, I will teach you how to become attached to me. Also, as Krishna, you will see, Mahatmanastha maham partha daivim prakriti maashitam. After quoting that verse, then he is telling about other guys. Ye anye, you know. He says, anya means the other guys. The jnani fellows and yogis and karmis. That he uses the word ye anye. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mamu pasate ekatvena pritakvena bahudha vishvatomukam jnana yajnena cha api anye. See, when will you use the word anye? When you are using others, that means you have spoken about somebody very important. Then you will say others. And who are the important people according to Krishna? Mahatmanastu mam partha. Daivim prakriti mashritam. Those who have taken shelter of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet and engaged in Krishna's service in her direction, in parampara, they are the Mahatmas, he says. And they are all important for Krishna. Bhajanti ananya manaso. Without any ananya manaso means without diverting to any other type of work or worship, they are devoted to me. Just like, for example, for a woman, the husband is the most important person in her life. But she will serve her father-in-law, her brother-in-law, you know, all the other men also in the family. But her relationship with the husband is unique. But she serves other people because they are connected to her husband. Otherwise, they don't make any sense to her at all. Isn't it? Similarly, the devatas are all connected to Krishna, so we worship them, we respect them also. In this way, he says they serve me in ananya bhakti. So there the word daivim prakritim, that is Srimati Radharani again. He's talking about daivim prakritim ashritam, he says. So, in this way, Krishna is paramatattva, the supreme truth, whose personality can be understood only by becoming his devotee. That's why he says, my devotees possess me as their property. Namo akinchana vittaya. Vitta means, I am the property. Just like Yashoda, you see, she is embracing Krishna. So she is possessing Krishna. So because Krishna is the embodiment of bliss, she is also enjoying bliss. Isn't it? But jnanis have nothing in their hands. They are empty. Isn't it? Because they are not able to capture the absolute truth. So that is why the Paramatattva, the absolute truth, existing as Bhagavan. So Kunti Maharani is telling, for jnanis, Krishna is like, you know, Atma Ramaya Shantaya. He becomes completely distant. He keeps them in the Brahma Jyoti and doesn't let them in to come to Vaikuntha. So Krishna is a Paramatattva, Sarva Shaktiman. Sarva Shaktiman, morning he was telling a beautiful example of the musk deer and the musk. Another example Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, he says, अतपरकित सूर्य नहीं मानी कृष्ण राधा विरहित कृष्ण नहीं जानी. इस तरह ही सेइंग आई कैन नॉट थिंक ऑफ अ सन विदाउट सनलाइट. सिमिलरली आई कैन नॉट थिंक ऑफ कृष्ण विदाउट श्रीमती राधारानी. ही सेज सो राधारानी इज शक्ति एंड कृष्ण इज शक्तिमान. सो ही इज द पोसेसर ऑफ शक्ति. वी विल रिसाइट अ वर्स फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत. सो ही इज टेलिंग हियर देवी कृष्णमयी प्रोक्ता राधिका परदेवता सर्वलक्ष्मीमयी सर्व कांति सम्मोहिनी परा. द ट्रांसेंडेंटल गॉडेस श्रीमती राधारानी इज द डायरेक्ट काउंटर पार्ट ऑफ लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण. शी इज द सेंट्रल फिगर फॉर ऑल गॉडेसेस ऑफ फॉर्च्यून. शी पोसेसेस ऑल द अट्रैक्टिवनेस टू अट्रैक्ट द ऑल अट्रैक्टिव पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड. शी इज द प्राइमेबल इंटरनल पोटेंसी ऑफ द लॉर्ड. सो दर इज इंटरनल पोटेंसी अंतरंग शक्ति. दर इज एक्सटर्नल पोटेंसी विच इज बहिरंग शक्ति. प्रभुपाद गिव द एग्जाम्पल लाइक द नेल्स इन साइड युअर फ्लैश and the nails which are coming out. The nails are coming out, you can easily cut it because they are dead. But the nails inside, they have life, because if you pull them, pluck them out, you will feel pain, isn't it? Similarly, the spiritual world is like that and the material world is like a dead nail. Or Prabhupada gave another example, like the spiritual world is like fire, the material world is like smoke. So smoke naturally doesn't serve. The smoke only goes into your nose and eyes and causes problems, whereas the fire serves. So in this way he is talking about antaranga shakti. And then he is saying here she is called as krishnamayi. Krishnamayi means two meanings. He is saying one is she is identical to Krishna, so she is called krishnamayi. Another meaning he says one who is within and without are Lord Krishna. Because of which she is called Krishnamayi. Ata yeva sarva pujya parama devata sarva palika sarva jagate ramata. Therefore Radha is parama devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all and she is the mother of the entire universe. You see, this understanding of Srimati Radharani as the universal mother, Jagatera Mata, is very important for growing devotees. Because we cannot understand the pastimes of gopis with Krishna unless at a preliminary stage we understand this. There is a beautiful verse in our in Vishnu Sasana and in Vishnu worship, many verses. One of these verses says like this. ईशानाम जगतोस्य वेंकटपतेर विष्णु परां प्रेयसिं तद्वक्षस्थल नित्यवास रसिकां तक्षांति संवर्धिनिं. इट इज सेड ईशानाम, ईशा मीन्स सुप्रीम लॉर्ड विष्णु, जगतो अस्य वेंकटपते. वेंग मीन्स सफरिंग, कट मीन्स वन हू कट्स. वेंग कट मीन्स वन हू कट्स सफरिंग्स, इसन्ट इट. वेंकटपतेर विष्णु परां प्रेयसिं, प्रेयसिं मीन्स लवर. Parampreyasim means the supreme lover of Lord Venkatapati, Venkatachalapati, is who? He is saying Lakshmi. He is saying. And then he says, Tad Bakshastala Nityavasa Rasikam Takshanti Sambardhini. Residing in the chest of Lord Vishnu, she increases the softness of the heart of Lord Vishnu. He says. See, Vishnu being the father is more grave and serious and he doesn't forgive very easily. Whereas Lakshmi, being the mother of the universe, she is very soft by nature and she nourishes all the living entities as the supreme mother, and she is more benevolent and merciful and compassionate and forgiving. But because she resides in Vishnu's chest, she makes Vishnu also soft-hearted, and that was the reason why Vishnu could behave so humbly with Bhrigumuni, because Lakshmiji resides in his heart. Like that he says, Tad Bakshastala Nityavasa Rasikam. Always resides in the chest of Vishnu as a golden hair. But sometimes she comes out and she is serving at his lotus feet also. And then he says, Padma Alankrita Pani Pallava Yugam Padma Sanastam Shriyam Vatsalya Adiguno Jvalam Bhagavatim Mande Jagan Mataram. Vande Jagan Mataram means the universal mother. Vatsalyadi means she deals with the living entities with Vatsalyata. Like Vatsalyata means she treats them like her own children and teaches them how to engage in service of Lord Narayana. So who can teach anyone how to serve Narayana? Nobody knows better than Lakshmi. So Narayana means the repository of the jivas. Lord Narayana is called as Narayana in his navel in which he keeps the jivas. So it's called Narayana. But the Naras learn how to serve Narayana from Lakshmi. That's why she is called as Vatsalyadi Gunam Ujjvala. Ujjvala means a brilliant quality she has. And not just Vatsalya. Vatsalya is one of them. She has many more qualities. There is a Sri Suptam you will read about Lakshmi's qualities. So, Vatsalyadi Gunojvalam Bhagavati Vande Jagan Mataram. And then Padma Alankrita means she always carries a lotus in her hands and she sits in a lotus flower. If you go to a Vishnu temple, first you take darshan of Garudji, then you go to the front, you take darshan of Lakshmi who is sitting in a Padmasana posture on a lotus. She is holding a lotus in her hands, pani in her hands. And she is the Supreme Mother. First you take darshan of the Mother, then you go to the Father, then you go to Narayana, then you worship Him. And while praying to Lakshmi, what do you pray? This is what we pray. Oh, Universal Mother, please engage me in service of Narayana because you know best. You know how to serve Him best. You are his supreme lover. There is another prayer also for Lakshmi, which we sing in the morning while saying Suprabhatam. Tava Suprabhatam Aravindalochane Bhavatu Prasanna Mukha Chandra Mandale Vidishankarendra Vanita Virarchite Prishashaila Nata Dayite Dayanithe. So this verse says, Tava Suprabhatam Aravindalochane. Oh my dear Supreme Mother of the Universe, your eyes are like lotus petals. Aravinda Lochane. Bhavatu Prasannamukha. Prasannamukha means your face is cheerful. Chandra Mandale, like a full moon. Vidhi Shankarendra Vanitabhir Archite. Vidhi means Brahma. Who is Brahma's wife? Saraswati. And who is Shankar's wife? Parvati. And who is Indra's wife? Sachi. Archite. All these three ladies, they worship you. And Rama is being worshipped by them. All three of them worship Lakshmi, and the Lakshmi comes from Srimati Radharani. That Lakshmi. Vanitavir Archite, Rishishaila Nath Dayite, Dayanide. Oh Dayanide, ocean of mercy, please have compassion upon me, please accept me and engage me in Lord's service. Like that is praying. Mata Samasta Jagatam Madhukaita Bhare, Vaksho Viharini Manohara Divya Murte, Shri Swamini Shrita Janapriya Dana Shile, Shri Venkatesha Daite Tava Suprabhatam. He is saying, Mata Samasta Jagatam. Samasta Jagat ke liye tum Mata ho. You are the Mata, Mother of the whole universe. Madhukaita Bhare. And you are the consort of Lord Narayana, who is the killer of Madhukaita demons. Paksho Viharini. Manohara Divya Murte. Manohara means your form is supremely divine and beautiful. Divya Murte, and it is transcendental, it is divine. So in this way, there are many prayers for the Supreme Mother. Here he is saying, Jagatera Mata. Sarva Palika, Sarva Jagatera Mata. So this Shakti, she is called as Swarup Shakti. See, Swarup Shakti consists of all the three, Hladini, Sandini, Sambit, all the three. And the source of all the Shaktis is actually Swarup Shakti. And Swarup Shakti is the source of the Mahamaya also. Mahamaya Shakti also. She is the source of Jiva Shaktis. She is the source of all the different Shaktis in the material world. Material energy, spiritual energy, everything comes from the Shaktis. If you very carefully hear the Jaiva Dharma description given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are two pages where he explains how Shakti is the source of all these different things. It will appear almost 90%, 95% of the things she only is doing through her different Shaktis. Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Eka. In Srishti, in Stiti, in Pralaya, she has her hand. Then you may ask, well, then what is Krishna doing? Isn't it? Then how is he God? The beauty is, Although Shakti, Krishna is called Sarva Shaktiman, the possessor of Shakti, there very beautifully this question is answered. Is Shakti God or is Krishna God? So there was an article in Back to Godhead magazine. Is God male or is God a female? So some people say God is male because he is the source of all potencies, all Shaktis. So he has to be supreme. And not only that, you know, he produces Lord Brahma from his own navel without taking help of Lakshmi. Isn't it? So he can do even without Shakti, independently. So the male God is supreme. Like that. And the Shakti ultimately comes from the Shaktiman only. If sun is not there, then how there will be sunlight? So this is one argument. Some people say the Supreme God has to be a female. Why? Because if I asked once a group of 1,000 students, you know, how many of you like your mother more than your father? Practically 99% they raised hands. Then I again asked the question, how many of you like your father more than your mother? 2-3 fellows raised hands. Here and there. So you will be able to observe that the children generally like their mother more than the father. The reason is the mothers are supposed to be more compassionate. Why I said supposed to be, sometimes sometimes we may see a female may be masculine also sometimes. But in general it is seen, like, you know, my father had a long ruler which he would keep in the bureau, you know. But whenever I would become a little more mischievous, then I would take out the ruler, you know. And then when I come into the house, I will directly run to the kitchen, you know. And then I'll catch hold of the sari of my mother and hide behind her. And then she will go to my father and pacify him. I said, Lakshmiji pacifies Lord Vishnu like this only. You know? So, in this way, that is why she is called as Vatsalyadi Gunajvalam Bhagavati Mande Jagan Mataram. That is why her shelter is glorified so much. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says two things about this, Shakti and Shaktiman. He says, the Shakti never acts independent of the Shaktiman. She always acts according to his direction. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. Chaye vayasya bhuvanani vibharti durga. This is one thing. So her desire is Krishna's desire. She doesn't have any independent desire at all. She simply wants to please him with all her potencies. That's all. And another thing, he says, Krishna is a transcendental autocrat. From a tattva point of view, Krishna is God. From a leela point of view, Radharani is God. So in this way, this contradiction is resolved very smoothly. So nobody will feel bad about it. So, you will see Krishna is called as Madan Mohan. Radharani is called as Madan Mohan Mohini. Isn't it? Yeah. Actually, when it comes to, just like for example, in one of my classes I saw one father was sitting in the class, his son climbed on his shoulder, small boy, you know, and started, you know, disheveling his hair like this. And you know, that fellow was, he was laughing. Huh? And all the other people said, your son is too smart. Huh? He's too naughty and very smart. He was doing this. So then I asked that father, why you did not protest? You didn't protest because in love, even if somebody lords over you, you don't mind. Isn't it? On the other hand, imagine if a 25-year-old boy climbs on his shoulder and he's doing like this. He will think that his nut has got loose. You have to send him to some mental asylum or something. So, when Krishna agrees to be controlled by love of his devotees, and what then to speak of Srimati Radharani, who is a supreme devotee, he becomes controlled by that love. And he is ready to dance according to the tune, you know, of his devotees. So, this reminds me of one beautiful pastime. Should I tell now? Okay. One day, in Vrindavan, all the gopis, they were all carrying mridangam and kartal and different instruments, and they were all playing, sitting in a circle. And in the center of that circle, Krishna was very beautifully dancing. See, generally we have heard the pastime of elderly gopis, you know, clapping hands and Krishna dancing. Here you find the young gopis, they are performing kirtans, and Krishna is dancing very beautifully. So at that time, Yashoda Mata arrived there. It was a twilight, evening time. She saw And she was shocked. She went and asked Srimati Radharani, "What is this? My son, all day he has gone for herding the cows and calves, and he has come back home in the evening so tired, and I put him to rest just now, and now he has come here and you all are making him dance like this. He will get more tired now. Please leave him, I want to take him home." And the gopi surrounded by Radharani said, "Yashoda Mata, what are you saying? This is our Krishna, this is not your Krishna." So they said, "Maybe your Krishna gets tired, but our Krishna is very special." So she said, "Maybe your Krishna may be in your house, in Nanda Bhavan, go and check." So Yashoda Mata went back, and sure enough, she saw Krishna sleeping in the bed. Then she came back to the gopis with great surprise. and then Radharani was telling her, "See, you are telling about your Krishna, but our Krishna is a Purushottama. He knows the Prema Tattva." And in this way, they both had an argument about which Krishna is supreme. Yashoda said, "My Krishna is no less. He killed Putana, he killed Trinavrata, he killed Agasur, Bakasur, so many of them." Yashoda was glorifying. And Radharani was glorifying Krishna as a supreme lover. And in this way, after the as the argument was going on, at one time they stopped. And Yashoda Mata said, "But it's very amazing to see that this boy's, you know, form, his looks, his nature, his characteristics, everything appears just similar to my son. How nice it is. Then why don't you bring him to my Nanda Bhavan and let us perform a beautiful dance with both these Krishnas together?" And the gopi said, "What if, you know, we come to Nanda Bhavan and you don't give our Krishna back to us?" And Yashoda said, and then Radharani took a chandan and she put a chandan on Krishna's forehead. The beautiful round chandan, it appeared like a full moon rising behind some big bluish mountain. It appeared like that. Very beautiful. So then Radharani said, "Now we don't mind bringing this Krishna to your Nanda Bhavan, so that now there will be no confusion on which Krishna is whose. But before all these talks which I told you now happen, something very important happened before all these things. One of the days, when Krishna was speaking to Srimati Radharani, he was telling, 'Oh Priye, I love you so much because you always perform unmotivated devotional service to me. And unless you put your glance on any living entity, the living being has no scope of, you know, becoming my devotee. Your mercy is everything for the living beings who approach me. And your service is so pure. And you never get tired of rendering service." And like that he went on and on. And he went on glorifying her. In the course of glorification, he made one statement. He said, "Your devotion is so glorious that even Yashoda has to take your dust," he said. And then Radhani was hearing all the while what he was saying. When he said this, she said, "Stop it. Now I know you sometimes you glorify beyond what is true. Who is Yashoda and who am I? She is your mother. She is so great and I am so small. How can you say that, you know, Yashoda can touch my feet? This was improper. Now you have started bluffing now." Krishna said, no, it is true. You wait and watch." So this had happened some time ago. And now, as I told you, when they took this Krishna to Nanda Bhavan, Yashoda Mata went and woke up Krishna from his bed, and he got up. She dressed him beautifully and they both came. Now these two Krishnas are looking so beautiful with their curly locks of blackish hair and their beautiful moon-like face, and both their bodies are identical looking. Yashoda was so happy to see these two Krishna forms. And then as the gopis are playing different instruments and sitting and singing very beautifully, and both the Krishna started dancing. You can imagine how beautiful they must have danced. Because all the Bharatanatyam dancers in this world are getting their little tiny ability from Krishna only. So Krishna danced very beautifully, waving his hands and revolving and rotating, moving his hands and legs and everything. As the dance picked up and the kirtan went on and on and on, at one point of time, both the Krishnas merged into one another. And they became one Krishna. And then Radharani said, yes, now the kirtan is over, let's push off now. And they were about to go. When they were leaving, Yashoda Mata cried out, wait a minute, where is my Krishna? They said, see, he has got a yellow spot. It's our Krishna. But Yashoda, but what about my son? And then Yashoda cried out, hey Radharani, I think you have put some trick on my son. I have heard that you are a great trickster. What have you done? Where is my son? I don't have 10, 10, 12, 12 sons to spare one. I have only one, only my only single son. She was crying almost like a, you know, mother cow who has lost the calf, you know. She was crying. And she fell on the ground and caught hold of the feet of Radharani and begged, please don't take Krishna away. Leave him here. And Radharani felt so embarrassed. And Mother Yashoda lastly cried. She said, if you don't leave this Krishna behind, she said, I am going to leave my life. And saying this, she fainted unconscious. And saying this, Radharani looked at Krishna and asked, hey, what's happening to your mother? Just see, she's going to leave her life. And Krishna said, that won't happen, don't worry. Because he's all-knowing. He knows everything. When she wakes, you tell her, he whispered in her ears what to tell. Then when Yashoda got up, just Radharani told her, just go and see inside, your son is sleeping. When she went inside, Krishna was there, sleeping inside. When Yashoda came out to thank everybody, nobody was there. They all had gone away by that time. So, anyway, Krishna becomes controlled by the devotees like this. He dances. The whole world is attracted to Krishna, and Krishna is attracted to his devotees. So that is why bhakti is called as Krishna Akarshani. The last quality, Krishna Akarshani Chasa. He says in Rupa Goswami. Klesha Agni Shubhata Mokshada Gutakrit Sudhalabha Sandarananda Visheshatma. Like that he says, the last one he says, Krishna Akarshani Chasa, he says. So, that is second one, Sarva Shaktiman. Third one was Rasabdim. Rasabdim means Bhandara of Ras. Ras, what is the meaning of ras? Ras actually means a particular type of taste that we get in relationships. Like for example, mango, amras everybody likes, isn't it? Opposite of that is Kerala juice, isn't it? So, sometimes our relationship with somebody is like amras, and with somebody else is like Kerala juice, isn't it? So, these relationships are called as rasa. So, while living in this world also we can experience rasa. Generally we find people are very selfish. Like imagine if I give you 4 buns, and in one of the buns I have put a cherry. You know what you call a cherry, right? Cherry. And I tell you that Prabhuji or Mataji, please take one of the 4 and give away the other 3 to other devotees. Generally what do people do? So the cherry one you will keep it in the side. Other 3 we may distribute. That is in general, generally speaking anybody. So, in the material world we find, and the material world is characterized by selfishness, desire for bhukti, enjoying oneself. The outlook of an average conditioned soul is one of enjoying mentality. Always. Like once 2 men were passing in the bank of a river, and they saw the black color hair, and one of the men said, hey, there is a woman who is drowning. I am going to save her. He said, and he jumped into the waters. Actually, his intention was not to save her, but to enjoy her in the waters. So, as he swam and went to the water, she was sort of growing inside the water. He shouted, don't go inside, come up. As he went to give the hand, his friend was watching it. And then this one wasn't able to come up. He asked, hey, why you are not coming back? You are also getting drowned or what? So the man said, this is not a woman, this is a Bhalu, this is a bear. He said, it is not leaving me. The cart holder. So in this world, people look at things with enjoying mentality. And when they go to enjoy, they get caught. Immediately. So, this is actually called as bhogavritti, bhukti. The whole world is characterized by bhukti. See, night when we all go to sleep, You will see how nicely we make our bedding, isn't it? You put a chatai, you put a blanket. If it is winter season, you will keep two blankets. We put mosquito net. We keep night if I am thirsty, I may need water, so keep some water. And all facilities, keep a pillow, make it very comfortable. And you know, very. Like that, Prahlad Maharaj says we should serve Lord Vishnu. Like you take very good care of yourself, like that you take care of serving the Supreme Lord. Like that he says. This example is very good, isn't it? Because anybody can understand this example. Very easily. So generally, the bhakti in this world doesn't give us satisfaction. It leads to frustration immediately. But above the bhakti is mukti. People who desire to get liberated from this world. Actually, Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, the jnanis who are trying to attain mukti, they are like an owl. An owl who cannot see the sun. Isn't it? Like in the night, the owl has eyes wide open. Isn't it? But in the night you will see, you can't see any difference. Imagine if you put up all these lights, everything appears like one. So everything is one only in darkness. When you put on the light, you can see the individual identities of everything. But when the sun is up in the sky, the owl cannot see. Isn't it? So the Shankaracharya, in one of his writings, he gave an indirect indication to this achintya bheda bheda tattva. He says, samudrohi tarangaha na tarango samudraha. He said, the ocean is full of tarangas or waves, but the tarangas jointly cannot make samudra, he said. Like, you know, people often give the example, a drop of water merges into ocean. But if you see a drop of water, it doesn't have timingalas, it doesn't have waves, it cannot wreck a ship. Whereas the ocean has timingalas, it has waves, it can wreck a ship. Is it not true? And a drop of water is not sitting here and the ocean is coming to a drop of water and saying, please accept me. Ocean is always ocean. So Shankaracharya gave this example to illustrate that the supreme truth is always supreme truth. But we have a simultaneous oneness and difference from it. As the waves of the ocean will always exist as long as the ocean exists. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this even more clear without any ambiguity by giving the philosophy of achintya bheda bheda tattva. So the jnanis also cannot become happy because this is called as the last snare of maya, wanting to become God. And the yogis also cannot become happy. Why? Because amongst yogis also there is competition. Like there was one yogi who had an axe, you know, with which he could easily cut the tree. You know, it'll cut the tree and make it into pieces. He could do yajna and everything. It was like a magical axe he had. And there was another yogi who had a patra which could make sweet rice unlimitedly. So these two yogis were living in a jungle. One day, another yogi came who had a diamond. If you catch the diamond in the hand, if you take it in your hand, you can fly. If you rub it, then you can fly. So he flew and came to the forest. And then when he came to this forest, he saw these two yogis. And he asked one of the yogis, I will give you this diamond, can you give me that axe? So they had exchanged. You take this, I will take that. So as soon as he got the axe, you know, he ordered the axe to cut both the yogis. Cut, he cut both their necks. So he took the diamond back and he also took that patra also back. Which goes to show, even amongst the yogis there is a competition and rivalry. You see? Because they are also envious of one another. When he was in Pune, Rizvanath Rana Swami Maharaj was meeting one Iyengarji. So they both were discussing about one yogis conference which was held somewhere in North India. How thousands of yogis all over the world had come. But there was a terrible fight amongst the yogis. Who will catch the mic on the stage? And that whole video was also taken of the whole thing, how they are all fighting on the stage, pulling and pushing the mic and everything. And one of the yogis, he seized it after the whole event was over because his photo was there and that also. So the idea is, even amongst yogis there is quarrel. That's why he says, bhakti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. He says, Krishna bhakta nishkama ateva shanta. He says. So Krishna bhakta is characterized by no other desire other than serving Krishna. And the personification of that is Srimati Radharani. So, the rasa in this world, even if it is very sweet, is only short-lived. So 70, 80, 100 years we can, even if we apparently have selfless love with mother and father, how long can that love go on? Even if one wants to serve selflessly. Whereas the original rasa in the spiritual world is everlasting. And in that rasa, the possessed by the living entity, eternally, Krishna is called as rasa vigraha, or akhila rasamrita murti. Akhila rasamrita murti means everybody is captivated by Krishna and they want to serve him. In one of the occasions once, there was a beautiful cloud in the sky. It was about to rain and there were dark clouds. And when there was Srimati Radharani and the gopis, so Srimati Radharani saw the clouds and she became so jubilant, remembering Krishna. So she told the cloud, "My dear cloud, I have a message to be given to Krishna. Can you please kindly pass it? You must be a friend of Krishna. Why? Because you are also having similar varna like Krishna, Shyamal varna." And the cloud said, "But how will I find Krishna?" Cloud asked. She said, "Oh, very simple. He wears a peacock feather." The cloud said, "But many people wear peacock feathers, I have seen." But she said, "He plays on his flute." But then the cloud said, "All the covered boys, when they return to their homes in the evenings, the morning when they are going out, they play the bugles. Evening when they are returning home, they play their flutes. And the mothers immediately come running to the doorstep to pick up their children and take them inside the home and bathe them, dress them, feed them, everything. So many of the boys also have flutes, they also play. How can I know the difference?" She said, "Very simple. Millions of eyes will be fixed on one person. That one person is Krishna." She said, "It's very easy for you, it's not difficult." So Krishna is all attractive. And he plays on his flute. You see, some time ago I went to this South India Adikeshava temple. In Adikeshava temple, there was a beautiful sight of Murali there, Lord Krishna standing and playing on his flute. And by his side, there was an amazing sight. I saw this, there was a cow was standing with two legs, just like human beings it was standing with two legs. Just like in Jharkhand forest you see, animals stand like this. Like that the cow was standing. One murti of a cow. Behind the cow was a tiger, holding the shoulder of the cow. And behind the tiger was a deer, holding the shoulder of the tiger. Just like how the devotees dance in prayerna sometimes. Go around like this, catching each other's shoulders. Of course, you can catch each other's shoulder without fear because they all are boys. But where? You can imagine, tiger is catching whom? Tiger is catching cow and deer is catching a tiger. And a calf is drinking the milk of the tiger and a cub is drinking the milk from cow's udder. So it was an amazing sight. So I called the pujari and showed him. You see, cub is drinking from cow and calf is drinking from tiger. See the mistake. He said when Krishna plays on his flute, all the living entities in Vrindavan get mesmerized. He said. Later on, I read one verse in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, which says, this verse says, Yatra Nirvaira, about the Naisarga. He says, Naisarga means, the naturally some creatures in this world have enmity. Like Garuda and Vasuki have enmity. Is it not? Similarly, cat and rat have enmity. Mongoose and snake have enmity. Isn't it? Like you all have seen Lord Shiva's family. Lord Shiva is... what is Lord Shiva's vahan? Bull. And what is Parvati's vahan? Tiger. So tiger and bull are standing side by side. Tiger can attack the bull if he wants. Isn't it? And what is the vahan of Kartikeya? Peacock. And what is Lord Shiva having in his neck? So snake and peacock are also enemies. Is it not true? And also, what is vahan of Ganesh? It's something like a rat. I don't know what you call it. Munjuru, I don't know what you call it. Looking like a rat, So, and the snake eats that rat, is it not? In this way, in one family, there are so many inimical living entities living. But because Lord Shiva is always Nataraj, you know, dancing in ecstatic love, chanting the holy names, in their house there is no quarrel. You see? And everybody is chanting the holy name, there is no quarrel. In Vrindavan also it is said, although in Naisarga, you know, living entities have quarrel, but in Vrindavan, tiger and deer drink water together. And the sadhus call the tiger and feed them some milk, and they are very happy and satisfied. So, in this way, Krishna is the Lord of Vrindavan. He is called as Rasabdhyam. And Srimati Radharani is the one. Now, I was telling about Lakshmi. Now, above Lakshmi, there is Mother Sita. If you read Ramayana, there is one section where Hanuman is meeting Sita Mata, Mother Sita. That section is a beautiful section. I will surely not speak more than 5 minutes on that, because if you read it, that section teaches us how to help the supreme pleasure potency, the divine mother, how to assist her in pleasing the supreme father, Lord Ram. Like Hanuman, when he was sitting on the top of the tree, he saw Mother Sita was considering to commit suicide because she could not find Ram. Ram didn't come back at all. And Hanuman was thinking, I will jump down. I will go and tell Mother Sita that Ram is safe. But then he thought, if I jump down, she will get frightened, she will scream, and all the Rakshasis, you know, they will give the news to the king, and my whole program will be spoiled. So he was waiting what to do. But when she was about to commit suicide, you know, with taking a rope in her hands, immediately Hanuman, you know, he sang a beautiful song in glorification of Ram's life, you know, from childhood, and Ram going to Mithila and marrying Sita and everything. And Sita became very joyful. She wondered, where is the sound coming from? And then Hanuman gradually jumped down and kneeled down in front of her, sitting and telling Sita about the news from Ram. And hearing all that, you know, it was like Amrit Varsha for her. For Sita, she was very, very thankful. At the end, she told Hanuman, and Hanuman gave her the ring, you know. That was a very special ring, which actually united Ram and Sita. Because one time, Mother Sita was angry with Ram for some reason. Total number of offerings today are 1,854. Yeah! So, once, it's amazing. Even if it is 1008, it is great. It is 1854. Amazing. So, once Mother Sita was upset with Ram, and Lord Ram was trying to speak to her, but she was in no mood to speak. She turned her face away. So, you know what Ram did? She took a ring and threw it on the ground. And said, where is my ring? It fell somewhere. Where is my golden ring? He was asking. Then Mother Sita could see it. She just couldn't control herself. She picked it up and said, the ring is here, she said. And then Ram accepted, and that's how their, you know, their quarrel immediately ended with that. And that was the ring which Ram sent with Hanuman to give it to Sita. Sita received it tearfully, and she told Hanuman, oh Hanuman, I am so grateful to you. You know, how can I, you know, how can I express my thanks to you? You have brought me my very life itself. This ring which you have brought for me, it is as good as Ram for me. And she said, don't go back, you be here only. Because if you go back, I don't know whether Ram will come or not. You keep telling me the glories of Ram more and more. She was hearing like this. And then Hanuman said, my dear mother, why do you suffer here? I will take you on my shoulder across the ocean, and I will take you to Ram immediately. She said, no. You are after all a tiny monkey, what can I do? Hanuman had an ego problem. Of course, he never had an ego problem. But he thought, you are calling me a tiny monkey, wait and watch. He went behind and showed a huge form. You have seen a Panchamukhi Hanuman? You have seen? He has also mystic powers. Ashtasiddhi Navanidhike Data. He's got all the Ashtasiddhis. So he showed his siddhis and showed a huge form. And Mother Sita was watching that. And then he again assumed a small form. And then came in front of Sita. So what do you say now? She said, yes, you are a great soul. Agreed. You know? Yes, you have a lot of powers. But still, I don't want to come with you. She said, why? Because if you take me on your shoulder, you know, the Rakshasis may chase, and Rakshasas may chase, and then you know, when you are fighting with them, you may drop me into the ocean. I will become food for the crocodiles, she said. And she said, also I think, you know, I should not go with any other man other than my husband Ram. Nobody else should touch me. Actually, none of these arguments are valid, because Hanuman is like a child. For a mother to travel on the shoulder of a child is never considered improper. And at the same time, Anantshesha is lying in waters always. Lakshmiji is used to living in waters. In fact, she is born of the milk ocean also. So she has no fear of the ocean. So she made all these arguments with Hanuman. And then she said, I want Ram to come and kill Ravana and victoriously take me back. That's my desire. And then in this way, you will see Hanuman speaking to Sita with a desire to pacify her, and Sita revealing her very confidential pastimes to Hanuman, which she wouldn't tell anybody. She told about how the giant, the son of Indra, once tried to attack her and Lord Ram protected her. Many, many pastimes she told him. So, Gopala Guru Swami has given the meaning of the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One of the meanings he says, Mam Angikritya Ramasva, he says. Oh, my dear Divine Mother, accept me as your servant and you enjoy me. Maya Saha Ramasva, he says. Which means you use me in your service, he says. This is the ideal mood of a sadhaka. One should always tell the Supreme Divine Mother, please engage me in your service to please Lord Krishna. So Hanuman was in that mood. Ram told, go to Lanka, find out Sita, and he went to Lanka. Mother Sita said, go to Ram, and give this news, went and gave. And back and forth he was going. Ram said, now get me the Sanjeevani. And then he went and brought the mount. So we have to run between Radha and Krishna, and just to try to please both of them. Engage in Radharani service and please Krishna. When Krishna orders us to be in Radharani shelter, be in her shelter. So that is why we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. See, when we say Hare Hare, who is saying Hare Hare? Krishna is saying Hare Hare. When Krishna is saying Radhe Radhe, that means Krishna is feeling separation. And Radharani is saying Krishna Krishna. Actually, this is not my own purport. I have read from an Acharya's purport, I am saying. I read in the book Art of Chanting Hare Krishna by Mahanadi Swami. He says, when you say Krishna Krishna, she is calling. So Radharani is feeling separation from Krishna. And you say Hare Hare, then Krishna is feeling separation from Shrimati Radharani. But when you say Hare Krishna, they are together. Radha and Krishna. So the gopis of Vrindavan put Radha and Krishna in a jhula, and they delight in dancing around and swinging them in the jhula. And similarly, all the Ayodhya vasis like to see Sita and Ram together. Similarly, all the Vaikuntha vasis like to see Lakshmi and Narayan together. So, in this way, the jivas delight in seeing the Shakti and Shaktiman together. They never like them to be separated. And when they are separated in Vipralamba, then all the jivas will work hard to unite them again, back. Just like Hanuman was doing. This is actual mood, to give them pleasure. So, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, it's a yugala mantra, we will get the prema. Krishna prema we can achieve by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So, the love for Krishna is actually called as a Krishna avesh. Like we say Nityananda avesh, it's a Krishna avesh or Vishnu avesh. It is like a powerful fire in the heart of every living entity. But now it has become covered over. It has become doused because of our contact with matter. So there is in Vishnu Purana there is a statement, Vishaya Vishta Chittanam Vishnu Avesha Nabhavet, it says. Vishaya Vishta Chittanam means any chitta that is absorbed in Vishaya Avesh, then it cannot have Vishnu Avesh, because these two are diametrically opposite. So he says that, like Indra is presiding in one direction and Varuna is presiding in another. If you want to go to Indra, you cannot go in the opposite direction. Like that he's saying, you decide what you want. You want Vishnu Avesh or you want Vishaya Avesh? He says, one out of the two you have to decide. And the Vishnu Avesh can be increased, that loba we call it, greed. Tatra lavalyam api ekala mulyam janma koti sukritarina labhyate. Krishna bhakti rasabhavitamati kriyatam api kutobi labhyate. Prabhupada used to quote this verse very often. From this verse only Prabhupada got the word Krishna consciousness. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati. So I'm going to conclude my talk with this PowerPoint, which talks something very important for the sadhakas. Those who are practicing sadhana bhakti, you know, should we delve into these pastimes of Radha, Krishna, Gopas, Gopis and all these things, or is it like Sahajaism? So sometimes we face a contradiction in spiritual life. Why? In some places you read that, you know, we should develop, you know, love for Krishna. You should meditate on Krishna's pastimes, and you should gradually come to a stage when, you know, your heart will become like a playground of Krishna's pastimes and all. And other places you find Prabhupada very heavy coming down on Sahajaism. Like for example, in one of the temples, I don't want to quote the names, in one of the temples, one day when Prabhupada was having cut fruits in front of him, he was about to eat them. That time Hridayananda Maharaj came and he just gave a news to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, a group of devotees have made a Gopi Bhav club, you know, and they are all coming together and discussing, you know, Radha Krishna pastimes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I just thought of bringing it to your notice, Prabhupada, because, you know, they are saying that the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is external and the knowledge of Gopi's relation with Krishna is internal. So it is better for us to focus on that instead of studying about Bhagavad Gita and all these scriptures. Another thing they are saying is that the only rasa is, Ujjwala rasa is Madhuri rasa, and all the other rasas like, you know, Yashoda is inferior to Madhuri Ras. Similarly, the Gopas are inferior to Yashoda. So as you go down in the Rasas, they are all inferior in nature. So we should simply focus on Madhuri Ras alone. They are saying like this. When Prabhupada heard it, his lips started quivering. He put the spoon down. Not even one piece of fruit made to his mouth. He said, "Get them all here. Call all the GBC men immediately to my room." And they all came. And then Maharaj wanted to tell Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, actually the leader of this group, he is a level-headed man. You know, he is not sahajayik. He is a good devotee and all. But actually he wanted to intensify his spiritual life. So Prabhupada said, you get them here. Don't give any explanation." Then they got some 5-6 GBC men. Prabhupada called them all into his room. And then Prabhupada said, "Why are you jumping like a monkey? You know, why are you..." This is the first example Prabhupada gave. Why are you jumping over like monkeys? So that leader of the group, he was explaining to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, actually we are studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, to exactly understand the, you know, mood of the gopis, and we have no other purpose." But then Prabhupada said, "Guru Mora Murke Deki Karila Shasran." That was the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "My guru called me a murkha and he said, you have no qualifications. You just chant Hare Krishna." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "If he is saying that, why don't you chant Hare Krishna first, sincerely, and develop your love for Krishna? Why should you go to Chaitanya Charitamrita and lead certain sections only?" Prabhupada asked. Then they said, no, Prabhupada, actually, we don't want to imitate the gopis. We want to just cultivate their mood. Cultivate their mood in serving Krishna." Prabhupada said, "As long as you have even a tinge of desire for sense gratification, you cannot acquire that mood." And Prabhupada said, "People like Ramananda Rai, people like Sarup Damodar, they are imbibing that mood while serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Actually, you have two ways in which you can serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One way is enter into the mood of the gopis, like Sarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, and when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is weeping in the night for Krishna, you know, he would weep so intensely, and Sarup Damodar Ramananda would be pacifying him by quoting verses from Bhagavatam and singing songs and calming him down. That's one way to assist Lord Chaitanya. Another way to assist is go out for preaching and distribute books, which is easy. Second one is easy, isn't it? So Prabhupada said, "You go out, distribute books and preach, but you cannot assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in pacifying his spiritual emotions. You cannot do that." So he said, "Don't imagine that you are cultivating the mood of the gopis." Prabhupada scolded. And then they said, "Prabhupada, we don't refer any other books. We only refer your books only, your purports." Prabhupada said, "It is like saying that I am going to a dispensary shop and taking medicine of my liking. Some people like this cough syrup, you know. Cough syrup is very nice smelling and tasty. So can you take 5 bottles and drink it? Just because you like it? Prabhupada said, you should accept the prescription of the doctor. You should go through all these books step by step. And you should not exclusively study only the pastimes of the gopis. As Krishna, you have to go step by step. So Prabhupada has condemned to Sahajayism. That is why now we can show you the slideshow. See, this lobha or the greed is very much stressed in our path of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, cultivating remembrance of Krishna and cultivating the greed for attaining Krishna. And if that greed is not there, in some proportion, we cannot rise above aparadhanam to namabhas. And without chanting the holy name in namabhas, there is no purification. Then when will we come to the shuddhanam stage? So, but how to cultivate this greed in a proper way? See, lobha refers to the state where our soul and overwhelming desire is to please Krishna. See, we have to know clearly what is lobha. Otherwise, sometimes people imagine that I have love for Krishna. We need not do any imagination because here a clear definition is given. Our soul desire, what is the meaning of soul desire? Only desire is to please Krishna. Which means, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitamba, jagadisha kamaye. Know the desire, he says. Similarly, anya abhilashita shunyam. That means soul desire is to please Krishna. And overwhelming desire. It is not only a soul desire, it is also a overwhelming desire, which means it's like a greed. Jagaddhanamayam lubdaha, kamukaha kamanimayam, itivar pashyati hare shariram. This is quoted by Jiva Goswami. He says, jagaddhanamayam lubdaha, a lobby person sees the whole world full of currency notes. Isn't it? Similarly, a kamuka person, sensual person, he always thinks every woman is meant for my enjoyment. He thinks like that. Similarly, one sees Krishna everywhere. So, overwhelming desire, he says. As long as there is some other desire in our hearts, the required intensity cannot manifest. So, Srila Prabhupada used to say, don't wet your consciousness by clinging to material desires. He used to say that. So, what is the meaning of clinging to material desires? Sometimes in the material world, if we keep on indulging in sense gratification, we almost get set in this world. Getting set means what? If somebody is walking on the road, suddenly he fell down, what he should do? He should get up and walk, is it not? If he says, no problem, I will just remain like this. He doesn't want to get up only. Or even if he has broken his leg, then he has to get up and go to some orthopedician and repair the leg. He has to do the needful, is it not true? In fact, intelligent person is one, if he falls down to the ground, immediately he will get up and look here and there, is there anybody watching me? And then he will dust himself and immediately he will walk, is it not true? But when the jivas in this world, they fall down, they get set in some position and they don't want to rise above it. Like hear stories like this, you know, like Prahlad was asking Lord Vishnu, can I bring many, many millions of souls with me? The spiritual world. Lord said, you can bring as many as you want. Because you are my pure devotee, I give you the freedom. So when he went to the material world, I mean, when he was going around, he saw nobody was willing to come with him. And one man said, where are you going? And he said, I am going to Vaikuntha. When are you coming back? He asked. You know, he said, Yadgatvanani Vartante. We never have to come back. So then I am not coming, he said. Then I will remain here only. I have so many things to do. So people get stuck. That's why he's saying the required intensity cannot manifest if some other desire is clinging to our hearts. See, he's giving a definition in Bhaktra Samsindhu. How does the lobha arise in our hearts? Krishna tad bhakta karunya matra labhaika hetuka. Saying, only by the mercy of Krishna and his devotees one can awaken the lobha. He says, bhakta karunya. Krishna. Tad bhakta karunya. By Krishna's mercy. There is a verse in 11th canto. I don't have the number here with me. This verse is simply giving a Uddhava Gita. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, giving a long list of who got mercy from whom and how they became delivered from this world. And Krishna is telling about Gajendra also in that. Telling about Gajendra, he is telling about Jatayu and all of them. It's a very beautiful purport. Everybody got mercy from Krishna or his devotees. Huh? And here, see the second line. Na atra shastram na yuktim cha tal lobotpatti lakshanam. Loba utpatti ka lakshana kya hai? It is not dependent on shastra. It is not dependent on yuktim. Yukti means logic. Here is where the problem comes with Raganuga. Because initially we study Shastra and understand which is regulative devotional service like Vaidhi Bhakti. But as you go to Raganuga, what he says here, you see, the appearance of the greed is indicated when the intelligence does not depend on the rules of the scripture and logic. After realizing to some degree the sweetness of their love through the process of hearing from the scriptures. Which means initially we are dependent on the scriptures, but after reading and hearing from the spiritual master and parampara, a certain stage comes when that greed comes, awakens. And after that one develops an intense greed to progress in spiritual life, you know, beyond that stage. Now let us see when that stage comes. At what stage lobha appears? It usually doesn't awaken until nishtha, which comes after anarthana vritti. I have actually made this slide of slides, little information, because they are very important. You see, when does nishtha come? Tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhavyasya cetayetarena vidham stam sattve prasidati. And then evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha. So as we go ahead beyond anarthana vritti, anarthana vritti is a very long stage. It can be shortened by sincerity and seriousness in spiritual life. But unless the anartha nivritti is done fully, if you don't come to nishtha, that type of greed, intense greed, doesn't awaken. Of course, for undergoing anartha nivritti also we need some intensity. You know the second verse of Shikshashtaka, Durdaivam idrisham ihajani na anuragaha. What is this anurag? This is not the anurag which we say, prema, pranaya, sneha, prema, pranaya, sneha, raga, anurag, they say, no? That anurag and this anurag are not same. This anurag is samutkanta, before anarthana vritti. What Lord Chaitanya is saying, durdaivam idrisham ihajani na anuraga. My dear Lord, I am not sufficiently serious to take advantage of your holy names, he is saying. Now, in case somebody has come to raganuga stage, nishta stage, you know what they have to do? In case somebody has become freed from all anarthas, now they come to nishtha bhakti. Then they have to identify one devotee in Vrindavan, Vrajabasi, whom they should follow, like Yashoda, or Radharani, or Lalita, Vishaka, somebody like that, or Gopasandra. But if somebody is asking, which devotee should I follow in Vrindavan, the person who has come to nishtha stage will not ask that question, he is saying here. Devotees who are qualified to cultivate Raganuga relationship will not ask this question. Because it will be revealed in their heart at a certain stage. And the natural and special appreciation for persons of Krishna will awaken. And only when a devotee is qualified as a hear and chant. And then they will be naturally drawn by two things. Particular mood of service and to a particular vajavasi. Saying. So we will not talk about this Raganuga because this is something coming after nishtha stage. But these are the things that we should remember before attaining nishtha. That Srila Prabhupada gave this formula that if you have become fixed up, if you become devotees, serious devotees in the society of ISKCON, Prabhupada wanted us to learn to pray for remembrance. That's like Kulashakara is praying. Mukunda murdhna pranipatya yache bhavantamekantamiyantamartham avismritistvacharanaravinde bhave bhave me stu bhavat prasadat. My dear Lord Krishna, let me never forget you. Give me this one boon, he is saying. Pranipatya, I am bowing down my head at your feet and begging you. Let me never forget you. So this Prabhupada said, a growing devotee should always learn to pray to Krishna, never to forget him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, while chanting Hare Krishna, we should gradually, if you are advancing devotees, that means we should try to contemplate on the meaning and develop the right disposition and attitude while chanting the Mahamantra. The right attitude for while chanting Mahamantra is what? Ayinanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budhav kripayatava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. Some or other I fall into the ocean of death, my dear Lord. And you are my rakshak. You are my palankarta. Please kindly uplift me. So, in this way, remembering the meaning of the mantra we should chant, he said, and the right mood, and begging for further qualification. These are all right dispositions for devotees who are in growing in their advancement to become free from anartha nivritti. You see, Arjuna is praying and immediately Krishna is bending his head low, showing his mercy to Arjuna. It's a very rare picture it is, very beautiful. Now, oftentimes devotees tend to think that Srila Prabhupada's books are elementary, they are very basic, and sometimes they go to the stall and ask for some new arrivals. Can we have some new books? What are the new latest arrivals? They think that there is Bhagavatam, there is CC, these books are very easily available. Let us see, why are Prabhupada's books all important? You know, His Holiness Kadambakananda Maharaj was telling me when I went to Vrindavan, I asked him about reading other books. So he was telling, Prabhupada's books are like rice, dal, sabji, chapati, he said. And all the other books are like chutney, he said. And he said, now you can decide how much you should read other books. How much chutney we all take? Do you take chutney like rice? So he said, every day read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and CC, he said. Why he said that? These are the reasons. Srila Prabhupada's writings are empowered by Krishna. Because, you know, there were so many Bhagavad Gitas just covered in America, in the libraries. But when Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita went there, within 3-4 years, you know, men started wearing dhoti kurtas, women started wearing saris, and all over the world there was such a revolution in the misguided civilization. Empowered translation. And Prabhupada presents complex philosophy in a non-technical language. What is non-technical language? You know, our acharyas have given commentaries in Sanskrit, like Vishwanathachakra Thakur and all the Goswami commentary, Sridhar Swami commentary, everything is in Sanskrit. And also the language is very deep and very technical. Technical in the sense that there are certain terms used and we don't have access to them easily. Even if it is translated by somebody, that person, if he is not a devotee, then he is going to mutilate the wonderful spiritual literature, isn't it? So Prabhupada kept the spirit of the Sanskrit literature and made the complex philosophy very easy to understand. For example, the Shastras say the Atma is like a driver and the body is like a chariot. Now how many of you go to your office in chariots now? So instead of chariot, Prabhupada gave the example, car. In the Vedic times, people used to chariots. So Prabhupada would say Brahma is the first engineer of the universe. That everyone can understand. Isn't it? When you say Srishtikarta. So Prabhupada put it in a language which modern man can very easily understand without compromising on the knowledge of the scriptures. Essence of the spirit of the scriptures. And foundational knowledge for first time readers as well as deeper understanding for qualified devotees. Actually, those people who give a superficial reading to Prabhupada's books, they will think that Prabhupada's books are superficial. Actually, it is our superficial mentality that makes it appear superficial. If we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam, as you go in the purport, you will find it's like Gaur Govind Maharaj calls it, they are like pearls. For getting the pearls, you have to dive deep. In the top of the ocean, you will get only fishes, he says. If you don't dive deep, you will never be able to bring out the Navaratnas from the ocean. So he says, you study Prabhupada purports deeply. One sentence Prabhupada says are so deep, he says. Similarly, warnings about premature hearing of eternal leela. Even when you read Rasa Dance, pastime in Krishna book, Prabhupada in between gives lot of philosophical understanding of the whole thing so that we don't get misled, we don't get confused. So that is why we should enter into this confidential person through Prabhupada books. And when we are not in nishta stage, when our mind is agitated by reading these pastimes, we are not yet purified. Anarthas are there. So when you see Krishna and the gopis and Radharani, we get bewildered sometimes. And what to do? Learn the basic philosophy. And Krishna Lila reading should be secondary. And three things are said here. Selfless service, attentive japa and diligent study of Shastra. They will all purify our anarthas. And then we can go to nishtha. And once we are purified, then we are freed of most bad habits. Actually, you will read in Madhurya Kadambini on Dushkrutota, Sukrutota, Paradota, Bhaktiyuta, and all those anarthas are explained very vividly. And Hridaya Daurbalyam, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Maya, Mugdasa, Jivasya, Gneyo, Anarthas, Chaturvidaha, four types of anarthas explains. Hridaya Daurbalyam, Chaparado, Asatrishna, Tattva, Vibramaha. We have to study nicely those anarthas, understand them, and how to overcome them. Solutions are also given. And prescriptions for three types of people. See, non-devotees, mixed devotees and neophyte devotees. See, those who are non-devotees, when you are preaching to new people, we should always speak about greatness of Krishna. Just like we have shown the picture of Vishrupa Darshan. You can talk about how Krishna showed Vishrupa in the court of Duryodhana, how Krishna showed Vishrupa in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, isn't it? And how Markandeya Rishi had experience of Krishna devouring the whole universal, you know, causal water, I mean, cataclysm waters. So, it is important to highlight Krishna's greatness. And we should, preaching actually means making people chant Hare Krishna subsequently. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the definition. If you can awaken faith in the hearts of people to chant Hare Krishna, that is preaching, he says. And they should read here pastimes occasionally. Like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Krishna book and Ishopanishad are very good books for them. See, what they should avoid? This Bhagavad Saptas, where they directly go to the 10th canto and talk only the pastimes of Krishna and Gopis. Or there are many people in Vrindavan nowadays in Lohi Bazaar. They translate books and they sell new books, very esoteric pastime books to make money. And these books are translated without any maturity. It's like a literal translations. There is no proper acharya's purports. So one should not buy such stock and read. It's like buying a pakoda from a shop and you eat it, then your throat will be gone. Because sometimes somebody uses a recycled oil for 20 times. And then you buy in a shop, isn't it? So don't buy such kind of books and read, he's saying. And then there are mixed devotees. Who are the mixed devotees? Like, you know, Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam Jana Sukritan Arjuna, isn't it? They make temporary connections with the Lord and they gain something and then they go away. So they should be freed from the selfish motives. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he came with selfish motives, he got it cleaned up. They should hear about incarnations of the Lord, he says. You see, in Bhagavatam also, we will find Varahadev, you know, killing Hiranyaksha. Then we find Vamandev, and before that you find Narsingh avatar, isn't it? So these are all different avatars are explained. Before we go to 10th canto, we should read about the incarnations because they talk about the greatness of the Lord. They reveal His opulence and divinity. And occasionally they can read about Krishna's Vrajalila in order to gradually understand the sweetness of the Lord. And they have to keep a reverential distance from such topics. See, there is a point there. Occasionally sing songs on Krishna's leelas in Vraja. There are many songs. Occasionally we also sing, like there is a song, you know. Ami yamuna puline kadamba kanane keherinu saki aaj. So, oh my dear Saki, you know, there is Krishna playing in the, playing his flute under the Vamshiva tree. And he is in the center of the world of a lotus and in eight petals, you know, all the eight sakis are done. Can we sing such songs? It is occasionally, once in a while. You can, heart of hearts, you can develop some attraction to Krishna. But without making that as the main thing. And then he says here, learn to respect Srimati Radharani as the divine mother. That's why he spoke on that a lot. And then chant Hare Krishna and endeavor to give up offenses. See, first time he is mentioning this. If you are in bhajana kriya stage, as we go to anarth nivritti, we should try to chant Hare Krishna while endeavoring to give up offenses. For that we have to understand the 10 offenses nicely and try to give them up. And we should worship the deities and purify our heart. So, the earlier it is said, at least you should make them chant. But now it is saying, now chant without, or endeavoring to chant without offenses. The neophyte devotees. Now they may even purposefully read Krishna Lila. That means Prabhupada said, you know, I have written this Krishna book to give solace to all the ISKCON devotees, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada also says, Dhruva Maharaj is a Kanishta Adhikari, Prabhupada says. Not after becoming pure devotee, while he was entering the forest. He wanted to worship Vishnu only. He didn't want to go to demigods. But he wanted some material desire to be fulfilled. So, when we in neophyte stage, if you are reading Krishna Leela, gradually we will get purified and develop loving attraction for Krishna. Like you read Krishna Sudama pastime, you know, we will be moved in our heart. See, here is a personality, you know, who doesn't see his prestige, social prestige, is coming and embracing Sudama, taking him in and washing his feet. Here is a person who is riding the chariot of Arjuna, you see. So, we develop fondness for Krishna. Occasionally or briefly, in a regulated way, avoid purposefully reading Gopi Lila, he is saying, focusing only on that. And then as we are becoming familiar, then we have to pray for two things. Relief from unwanted habits, and other obstacles to devotion. There's two things. Like the songs like Gopinath, Mama Nivedana Shuno, isn't it? There's another beautiful song. Dukhe Sagare Bosiye Chi Utariye Janina Dina Daya Tumi Bhagavan पार करो यामार सामने तूफान तुम्ही यदि प्रभु नहीं करो पार पारे राशा राकीना दुखेर सागर. So these are all songs sung by acharyas with deep spiritual emotion. Although we may not experience such emotion, but if we keep singing them, gradually the spirit will also brush us. And in this way, our obstacles in our devotional life will be removed. And unwanted habits. So this is actually our stage when we are in Anatta Nivritti. These are the things we should do. We should offer prayers. We should try to give up unwanted habits and completely stop all bad habits, he's saying. And while chanting, what should be the mood we should adopt, he says? Dranada Pishnichana mood. The four qualities, humility, tolerance, respecting all and not expecting any respect in return. And then pure devotees with weak faith, he is saying. Who are the pure devotees with weak faith? That means their goal is Anya Bilashita Shunyam. That is their goal. They don't want to do jnana, karma or anything like that. At the same time, their faith has not yet become sturdy. And then they have to philosophically understand and give up all attachment to the material world. Actually, this is one thing that Prabhupada emphasizes in his purports a lot. If you want to understand Radha Krishna Tattva, understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here he says, all Lord Chaitanya's associates, they were helping him taste Krishna's sweetness, they didn't intrude in Lord's moods, they didn't enter into Krishna's pastimes, they always remained servants of his transcendental aspirations. This is in Jagannath Puri pastimes are shown here. Actually, the easiest way to appreciate the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis is to read the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leelas. Because Radha and Krishna combined, they appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They reveal and teach us how to take shelter of Radharani. So there is Mahamaya, you see. There is Mahamaya and Yogamaya. So Prabhupada used to say, if you are not under the government, then you will be under the police station. Isn't it? You will be in the jail. You have to take shelter of one out of the two. Durga is having what in her hand? She is having Trishul, isn't it? And Radharani, Lakshmi, Sita, they are holding a lotus. Why lotus? Because you surrender to Krishna. Hmm? And when you don't surrender, then you get Trishul, Trivida Tap. So this is a, this will come in eventually, subsequently also. What happens when you take shelter of Srimati Radharani? See, Prabhupada is saying, although we have got Krishna's qualities, still we sometimes fall down. So we require protection. Therefore we chant Hare Krishna. Not only alone Krishna. See, worshipping Krishna alone leads to Mayavad. Because Mayavadis don't recognize Krishna's energies, Shaktis. And worshipping or taking only Radharani, and Prabhupada says, a crying Sita in the hands of Ravana can never make Ravana happy. Prabhupada says. And Sita will surely cry when she is away from Ram. So you should worship Ram and Sita together. Like you go to some sage shops, they have only Lakshmi, like this. From her hands all gold coins are pouring. Like I asked one sage in the shop, sir, you have Lakshmi, but where is Narayan? He said, Narayan is not required, Lakshmi is giving enough coins. So, if you keep only Lakshmi and no Narayan, then we become many Ravanas. Isn't it? Ravana wanted to have Sita, but he wanted a kingdom of God without God. You see? Then he wanted to enjoy. That's why Radha and Krishna should be worshipped together. Prabhupada saying in Vrindavan they chant Radha Krishna, Jaya Radhe, Hare Krishna, like that they chant. You see? When we take shelter of Radharani, she gives us intelligence in such a way that we can take shelter of Krishna. Actually what happens, what is the mechanism behind taking shelter of Radharani? At the time of Diksha, there is a verse which says that our body is material, our senses are material, and our mind is also material. But Srimati Radharani is so kind, when a guru gives Diksha to the disciple and gives a name, on that day, she makes the body and mind and senses of the devotee Tadatma. Tadatmikata means, it's like putting iron rod in fire. When you put iron rod in fire, it starts glowing, you know, red hot, yellow hot, white hot, like that. Similarly, Radharani Swarup Shakti enters into the heart of the disciple who gets that avesh in the heart to serve the Guru and serve only Guru and Krishna and not serve Maya. The disciple takes a vow that I will serve only Krishna. And then in this way, Radharani Shakti, when she infuses the heart of the devotee like this, then the buddhi also becomes spiritualized. Actually, when one comes to the ruchi stage, one's mind spontaneously will go to Krishna. Unlike our current stage, where we have to strenuously practice remembering spiritual things. But then when one comes beyond that stage of ruchi, there is asakti and bhav stage, and there is a lila smriti, it is said. The heart reflects like a mirror, Krishna's pastimes. But in bhava stage, there is Bhagavad Darshan, which is actually not Leela Spurti, which is Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. Krishna's personal presence can be seen eye to eye by a devotee, just like we see each other. But all this is made possible by Radharani. That is why in Vrindavan, devotees, like Raghunath Das Goswami says, my dear Lord Krishna, if I find you and Radharani together, even if you don't call me, I'll come running to you. But if I find, if I find you alone, I will run away. He says, I will not come to you. Why? Because you are a trickster. Very dangerous to put faith in you alone. But when Radharani is there, I am sure she will offer me in your service. That is why in Vrindavan this is Radhakund. He who has grasped hold of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani with great care obtains the lotus feet of Krishna, which are like priceless jewels. Actually, the very word Radha comes from anayaradito nunam, which means one who is always doing aradhana of Krishna. So, aparad means going away from Srimati Radharani. One of the reasons we don't experience anartham vritti quickly is the aparad, offenses we commit. Nama jata aparadhanam namanyeva harantyagam, it is said. The offenses that arise due to chanting, during chanting, can be overcome by repeatedly chanting. But very important thing, it is not just repeatedly chanting. It is repeatedly chanting with a repentant heart. It is repeatedly chanting with a greed to attain love for Krishna. Then only we will progress, otherwise not. So how we worship her? By seeing her, by decorating her, cooking for her, chanting for her, praying for her.
Just like I was telling you about Hanuman serving Mother Sita. Prabhupada says this in Radhashtami lecture in London. We should offer Pushpanjali and pray to Radharani. Oh Radharani, kindly be merciful to me and tell about me to your Krishna. To your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Prabhupada is saying. So, this is the mood of a devotee. Sometimes in some places people sing, Radhe, Radhe, Sham Milade, you know they say. So one Maharaj in ISKCON, he was telling, this is not the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't say, Radhe, Radhe, Sham Milade. Radharani, give me Sham. We don't ask like that. We request Radharani to engage us in service of both Radha and Krishna. So, and also, devotees don't feel a direct relation with Krishna. They only know that whatever you offer goes through Srimati Radharani. See, Prabhupada saying, we should worship Radharani first, that's our business, instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna. You just put it in the hands of Radharani. My mother, Radharani, Jaganmata, if you kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna. Oh, Radharani says, oh, you have brought a flower? So she becomes very happy. And she blesses you. So like the Prabhupada used to say. So Prabhupada is teaching us how to approach Srimati Radharani and worship her and request her to engage us. It is said about Radharani's singing about Krishna's glories in Vrindavan. It is said in Vrindavan, Radharani sings Krishna's names. And Krishna sings Radharani's names, and all devotees sing Hare Krishna. Mantra, Vrindavan. One time in one of the kunjas, Srimati Radharani fainted, then all the gopis surrounded her and chanted the names of Hari loudly. It is there in one of the Puranas. Says, so, when they chanted Krishna's name loudly, she got up immediately. That is why, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also would faint, that is like Radharani fainting, because Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Then they chant Krishna's names and he gets up immediately, like that. Same with Krishna also. So, we will recite this verse and we will conclude with this. See, this is a famous verse.
Vikriditam brajabadu viridam ca vishnoh shraddhanvita anusunuyat atavarnayedya bhaktim param bhagavati patilabhya kamam. Hridrogamashvapahinoti achirena dhiraha.
This verse says, see, the word Vishnu is used. Have you ever seen Vishnu dancing with gopis? He says, Vikriditam Vrajavadu bi ridam cha Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu dances with Vrajavadu, he says, why the word Vishnu is used? To say that Krishna is not an ordinary mortal. He is the same as Lord Vishnu. Shraddhanvita anushnuyat. If you hear the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis with great Shraddha, you hear it or you speak it, then bhaktim param, parabhakti or paro dharma, paro bhakti will awaken in your heart. Pratilabhya kamam, which means initially only kam is there, lust is there, then there is lust and bhakti, then there is only bhakti, lust is driven out. Which means the bhakti can enter our heart even when there is lust, is this. Pratilabhya kamam, hridrogam ashvapahinoti. And heart disease will be destroyed. Is it heart attack or is it, what is this heart disease? Is it some heart problem? We have to do angioplast or heart surgery? This hridrogam is what? Lust. Lust is the heart disease that will be destroyed, he says. See, if you are watching a movie of some hero, heroine, you know, doing this kind of dancing, singing, everything, we become more lusty. But by hearing about Radha Krishna and gopis, Sukadeva Goswami promises that we will become dhiras. Like that he says. So, I had just put about two or three paras about Srimati Radharani's qualities, which is given in the Radhikashtakam. I will just recite only one of them. And we will conclude with this and only this and this. This one, these two we will recite. All of you can repeat after me.
Vishwavandya-yavata-bhi-vandita-piyarama.
Vishwavandya-yavata-bhi-vandita-piyarama.
Rupanavya-yavana-di-sampadana-yatsama.
Rupanavya-yavana-di-sampadana-yatsama.
शीलहार्दलीलया च सायतोऽस्ति नाधिका मह्यमात्मपादपद्मदास्य दास्तु राधिका
This is the same thing we were talking before. Vishwavani means world-renowned women, goddesses like Parvati and Saraswati and Sachi. They all are worshipping Rama, but that Rama is an expansion of Shrimati Radharani, like that it says.
Rasalasya Gita Narma Satkalali Pandita Rasalasya Gita प्रेमरम्य रूप वेश सद्गुणाली मंडिता विश्वनव्य गोपयो शिरालितोपियाधिका मह्यमात्म पाद पद्मदास दातु राधिका
She is saying, Srimati Radharani, she is expert in all the 64 kalas. Huh? In rasa dance, dancing very beautifully, dressing herself very artistically, and singing very sweetly, playing all the different instruments, in drawing rangoli very nicely, in cooking very tasty food by the blessing she got from Durvasa, isn't it? In this way, mimicking very beautifully, dramatizing. Like that she has 64 kalas with which she is serving Krishna along with the gopis very beautifully. Prema Ramya Rupava Shadgunali Mandita, I say. In this way, she is the best in every way. May Sri Radhika bestow upon me the service of her own lotus feet. So the Radhikashtakam very beautifully describes about the different. This is the last statement. Experiencing separation from Sri Krishna and longing to meet Him is the ultimate perfection of a devotee's life. So this is the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is sung by Srinivas Acharya in his song.
He Radhe Vraja Devike Chalalite He Nanda Shuno Kutaha श्री गोवर्धन कल्प पाद पतले कालिंदी वने कोशंताविति सर्वतो व्रजपुरे खेदैर् महाबिह्वलौ वंदे रूप सनातनौ रघुयुगो श्री जीव गोपालको वंदे रूप सनातनौ रघुयुगो श्री जीव गोपालको
So, this, as it is said in this verse, the Goswamis are searching, Hey Radhe, where are you? Are you in the bank of Yamuna? Is Krishna under the Vamshiva tree? Is he on Govardhan? So Prabhupada used to say, In our parampara, we never say, I have attained Krishna, or I have attained the shelter of Radharani. We never say like that. Prabhupada says that we should always be asking like this. And this mood is the mood of a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Like you see Mahaprabhu running after the sand dune, considering it Govardhan. So, on this auspicious day of Radhashtami, we will pray that the bhoga vritti in our hearts, let it be destroyed, and let Seva Vritti be awakened. And let us render service to Krishna and His devotees wholeheartedly, without harboring any selfish motives. And on this Radhashtami day, we can also be very grateful to our spiritual master who is bestowing the mercy of Srimati Radharani upon us. Prabhupada says Srimati Radharani is the emblem of Mahabhagavata, he says. Just like our Guru, by seeing our Guru and seeing His Guru, we can get an idea how Srimati Radharani must be. What kind of attitude she must be having. And she is the supreme emblem of all Mahabhagavatas. So, we can pray to the lotus feet of our spiritual master
to bless us with a drop of his oceanic qualities with which he is entering service station with Radharani. Like we sing in the Samsara Dhamanala song, isn't it? We can pray like that. And we can also pray to Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas that whatever misconceptions and misunderstandings we have regarding Raghavanaga Bhakti, let it be destroyed. So that the path that we are taking, let it not carry us away from Krishna and Radharani, rather it we are kept in the proper track and we never do things that will deviate us from attaining the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And as I was telling you, Bhajanakriya Anartana Vritti Nishta, this Anartana Vritti is a very difficult period and every devotee struggles hard. And we have to have eagerness and we should have endeavor, both. That is said in Chaitanya-charitamrita. Yatna and Agra, two words are used. So we have to have eagerness and endeavor, both. And we will pray to Srimati Radharani to give us a strength by which we will be able to endeavor sufficiently with enthusiasm and eagerness. As our acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master and others have shown us, following in their footsteps. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.